Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, Believe God's Word When You Pray. You are studying Lesson 4, Don't Forget to Receive. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. We're going to look first of all at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And notice some scripture here, beginning with the 17th verse. Pray without ceasing. You know what that means? That means pray all the time, brother. And in order to be able to do that, you're going to have to learn how. There's some things that you're going to have to learn, just like you had to learn when you do anything else that is an application of specific laws. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Listen to this. We're talking about developing your prayer life. We're talking about coming to a place where you have a deeper prayer life. Prayer life that means more to you, means more to God, means more to the body of Christ, means more to the lost, means more to the sick. It means more to the praying for the nation and the government and the nations of the world. I mean, you have a voice in everything that God does all over the world. Praise God. It's an awesome thing. Now, prayer is governed by applying specific laws that govern the spiritual world. There are specific laws that govern faith. There are laws that govern the love of God. There are laws that govern the whole kingdom of God. How do you know that? Well, I know that Jesus said, "What shall we compare the kingdom of God to? It is like a man planting a seed in the ground so that when it is planted, it comes up and grows. He doesn't know how, but he goes to bed night and day and it comes up. He doesn't know how it comes up," Jesus said, "but immediately he puts in a sickle." So there were laws, right? There were physical, that man put that seed in the ground, and he watered it, and he watched over it, and kept the weeds out of it. Go to bed, and get up, go to bed, and get up, and come out there one morning, and now that little thing is, it's done, it's stuck its little head up out of the soil, and the first thing you know, it's growing, and it's come on up, and he said, you know, till it gets grown, and you put the sickle in it. Now, there are certain laws that govern that. You know it, and I know it, and he said the whole kingdom of God is like that. So anything that is done by the applying of specific laws, and the laws of the Spirit supersede the laws of the natural. The spirit world is not some hokey-pokey, spooky, nobody knows what's going to happen kind of a world. It's the most regulated world that there is. It is God. God is the world of the Spirit. And so, you are a spirit being, and you have been, your spirit has been recreated, or what Jesus called being reborn. And he said those things that are spirit, those things that are flesh or natural are natural. So the spirit realm governs this natural realm, and in the natural realm is where sickness and disease and death and poverty and debt and all that kind of stuff, anything that causes you problems and gets out of line is in this natural physical world. Well, we know there are natural laws of physics. There are laws that govern this flesh. There are laws that govern the atmosphere. There are laws that govern electricity and light and dark and so forth and so on. Now, I said all that for two or three different reasons. One, the main reason at this point in time is for you to realize that in order to develop your prayer life, you're going to have to learn, You're going to have to practice, and you will make mistakes, and you have to be teachable. You have to base it on God's Word. God's Word is His part of our prayer life. Not what Brother so-and-so said about it. Not what Sister so-and-so thinks about it. Not what the seminary said about it, unless the seminary is saying exactly what God's Word says about it. Most times they're not. And most of the time, men's ideas. I don't care who it is. My idea, your idea, what? Who cares? It's God's idea that we want, and God's very specific about it. I'm going to share some of these things with you. Of course, I like to share them with you in a very limited way. I don't have time in here to go over and over and over. That's the reason the tapes are so important, for you to study it out. Now, another reason I wanted you to see that this is an application of laws, you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to practice. In other words, this is something that you're not going to be perfect the first day you start out at it. Learning how to drive a car, learning how to fly an airplane, aviation and so on. That's an applied science. There are specific laws at it. You're going to have to learn how to do it. If you're going to learn how to go learn how to ski down a mountain, there are certain laws that govern the movement of those skis and all that kind of thing. Gravity is involved in that, and load and pressures and all that kind of stuff, see? Well, the first time you do it, you're not going to be Phil Mayer, you know? I mean, the first time you pick up a baseball, a football, whatever it is, what? You're going to have to learn something about it. You're going to have to practice it. And you're going to have to be teachable. You're going to have to be able to be corrected without, oh, bless God, He don't love me anymore. No. You're going to have to be teachable. You're going to have to be correctable. You have to spend time in the Word of God and spend time in prayer. Amen. Now then, pray unceasing. That's what he's talking about. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. What's the will of God for you? Rejoicing evermore and praying without ceasing and in everything. In other words, at all times, I don't care where you're praying, whether you're rejoicing, whether you're in the midst of a difficulty or whatever it is, praise God. Give God praise. Praise God all the time. Why? Because you keep the devil's mouth shut and keep him pressured back. Now then, we've studied all that. Then he said, quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Don't put a quench on the Holy Ghost. Be teachable. Be pliable. He's right and you're wrong. I don't care what it is. God's right and you're wrong. Amen. Oh, I know the Bible says that, Brother Copeland, but it didn't work for me. Well, God's right and you're wrong. If there's anybody wrong, it's you or it's me or it's somebody else. It isn't God. There's not anything wrong with this Bible. I'm telling you, you can go with it. This thing is a proven fact, brother. This works. Amen. You ever notice that the New Testament wasn't written off in a cave somewhere where some fella put a hood over his head and went back in the cave and spent years and years? Nah. This thing was written in the heat of battle, brother. I mean, this was written. The Apostle Paul received these letters through petition, supplication, and intercession. If you read these, you'll find out that he knew what was going on in these church situations, knew what the problems were by the Holy Ghost as he prayed and interceded for them. They put the man in prison and they couldn't stop his ministry because of prayer and the power of prayer. Hallelujah. And this is where the New Testament came from. It didn't come off of some yonder mountaintop, yonder way away somewhere. It came down here in the heat of it, brother, facing the devil, facing sickness, facing disease, facing abnormalities of all kinds, facing mean people, bad people, good people, lovely people, sorry people, lying people, truth people, Christian people, and demon people. I mean, brother, it was written in the face of life and all the storms it had to offer, and it worked. And it is the record of how it worked. The Apostle Paul thanked God and all the rest of these men. Put their mistakes in there as well as they did their successes. I mean, they talked about being despaired to the point where they wanted to die. But thank God prayer brought them through. And you go in there and find out how they prayed it. God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't respect me for some special reason. Yeah, but you're a preacher. What difference does that make? I mean, I know preachers all over the world that ain't nothing in prayer happening for them. Why? Because they just as much unbelief as anybody else. God doesn't hear somebody because he's a preacher. God doesn't hear somebody because he's a man. God doesn't hear somebody because he's a woman. God doesn't hear somebody because he's black, because he's white, because he's brown, because he's yellow. He doesn't hear anybody because they're good, and he don't hear somebody because they're bad. Are you listening to me? God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. He's a respecter of his word. And he's a respecter of the mighty name of Jesus. He's a respecter of the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. And you need to learn how these things affect and the effects that they have on your prayer life. Now, what are some things that I can share with you now for the development of your prayer life and bring your prayer life to where it's a deeper part of your life and where it brings more results? That's the name of the game. One, this is so elementary that you stop and think about it sometimes. I don't know why we even had to mention this, but if you go listen to people pray, then you can find out how come we have to mention it again and again. From the Gospel of John, let's turn over there in the 16th chapter. And remember now, Jesus is just a few hours away from the cross, and he's talking to these men about what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes, when they are reborn men, and they don't realize that's what he's talking about, but, you know, hindsight's 20-20, brother. And you can turn around and look back then from the day of Pentecost, and you can see that this is what the man was talking about. And he said in the 7th verse, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient or more profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, he's talking about that time. Now, listen what he said here. In that day, what day? The day the Holy Ghost comes. The day he sends the Spirit in here to assist, to empower, to stand by, to reveal the truth, to intercede, and so forth. Here, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. "In that day you shall ask me nothing." Now, he's talking about prayer. He's not talking about, "Oh, you can't ever speak to me again." No, that's not what he said. He said, "In that day you will request of me nothing." Now, listen to what he did say. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full." Then he went ahead to say in the 27th verse, "The Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came out from him." So Jesus is saying, when you go into prayer, When you're in prayer, up to now, you've they didn't realize that all this business about the death and resurrection of Jesus and him being exalted and given a name which is above every name, they didn't realize that was coming. And up to that point, the devil had been subject to them in his name, but they had never gone before the Father in the name of Jesus. They hadn't even heard anything like that except when he prayed. And so forth. He used the word Father, but boy, I'm telling you, that wasn't in Judaism. And I'll tell you, that's one of the things they crucified Jesus for, is calling God his Father. They haven't heard anything like that. And here he's opening the door to them, and he said, now he's saying, "Don't come pray to me." "Oh, Brother Copeland, I pray to Jesus." Well, that's the reason you're so screwed up. Now, forgive me, but I got to talk to you the way the Bible is. I ain't got but a few minutes here, brother. I got to be straight with you. Now, I meant that to shake you up. I want you to listen to me. Didn't say you can't fellowship with Jesus. He didn't say don't ever speak to me again. He said when you pray, don't pray to me. Use my name, my authority, and go to the Father in my name. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hallelujah to God Almighty. and you go listen to people pray, I tell you, start listening to other folks pray. Start listening to what's being prayed at the church. Start listening to what people pray in prayer groups and so forth and see how they pray. Oh, we pray for Jesus' sake. He didn't say, pray for my sake. He said, ask in my name. Oh, Jesus, we pray and ask you. Oh, yeah, Brother Copeland, but I don't believe that. I don't care what you don't believe and what you do believe. If you're going to develop your prayer life, you're going to have to be very specific about doing what he said. Well, I don't understand. I know you don't, but you'll understand later. That's, if I'm going to teach you how to fly an airplane and you won't do what I tell you to do and all the time you don't know how to fly, I'm not going to ride with you. You're going to stick us up like a dart out here somewhere. I don't know, yeah, but I don't like to pull that. I'd rather push that. Well, get out of here. I ain't going to mess with you no more. Get out of the airplane. I don't even want to fool with you. Why? Why am I? Because this is a life and death situation. So's prayer. I'm telling you, brother, I'm talking about life and death. The Bible said, behold, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. Be teachable. All right? If you're going to deepen your prayer life, be very specific about praying. When you lay a petition out, you've developed this petition or supplication, or you're going into an intercession, you're going to face the devil. Go at him in the name of Jesus. When you pray, when you place a petition before God, when you're praying, pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. And be careful to be that way and allow this to develop, and you'll begin to develop a relationship with Jesus because of your obedience to do what he says. Now then, another thing that you need to, I have to bring this up again and again and again and again because it is so vitally important to your prayer life. Make a specific point in your prayer. Whatever that prayer is, make a specific point, a time where you specifically act on Mark 11:24, where Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Make it a point when you pray. Say the words. Govern yourself. Cause this to be like a checklist in that airplane. Cause it to be like you are when you leave the house, when you want to make sure I've got everything I need. I've got my briefcase. I've got those contracts in there. I've got my checkbook. I've got, well, you know, I'm prepared. Make a point in your prayer life, in the times that you pray, to specifically act on that verse of Scripture and actively believe that you receive. And make a point of reminding yourself, reminding the devil, that you are not going to believe God, but you have believed God. I did this for years, and I still do it today. Many, many, many times. I always do it when I pray, but there are times, many times, that I actually take my foot and draw a line across the floor like that, and I say, that's the line of faith. I'm stepping over that. I now believe that I receive, Father. I have prayed the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. I believe that I have what I have desired of you, 1 John 5. I believe I have the petition that I desired of you. I've stepped over this line of faith, and I'm never going back there anymore. As far as I'm concerned, so be it. Amen. It's done. Now, every contrary symptom, physical thing, sound, somebody's words, whatever it is, I have this moment to refer to. And it helps me in my mind. That's where the strongholds are. It helps me take a stand against fear. It helps me believe and stand. I'm not believing God. I have believed God, and I'm walking in that faith. Believing Him. You understand what I'm saying? But I want this moment to refer to. I want that moment when I pray, and in my own prayer life, I do it like this. I'll say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus based on this word. And I've picked out, you know, a promise or more of God that I'm standing on. And I read that word, and I say, Father, I know that you've given this through Jesus and His blood. I now be good for you to take note of the time and write it down somewhere. Step over that line of faith. That moment in time, I'll say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus based on this word that I pray before you now. And I pray out the prayer. And then in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. Remember Philippians 4, with thanksgiving let your request be made known to God. I thank you and I praise you. I worship you, and sometimes this may take a while. Amen. Because, brother, there's just something about it. But now listen, I now believe I receive. It's done. That moment, you need that to refer to when you pray. And later on, I guarantee you, the devil's going to give you an opportunity to use it. Amen. Father, I pray for this television audience today in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that they be made whole, spirit and soul and body, financially and socially. Everything in their lives come under the power of the living God. I believe that I receive it. I stand with them and I agree with them as they pray in Jesus' name.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.